Monster Man, Episode 352, Death Leech and Dragon, Undead. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we're continuing our journey through the Undead section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Before we do that, though, it's time to thank some new Patreon backers. Yes, these are people who've gone to patreon.com/monsterman, and they have pledged as little as $1 a month to help support the show. And if, like today's patrons, you pledge at the $2 or higher level, you'll also get access to my other show, Patron Deities, which is all about the Deities and Demigods supplement and how to use religion and mythology more generally in your fantasy role-playing games. So thank you very much, Oleg Dolya and Lori Kutstall. I hope that I'm pronouncing both your names right. It means a lot to me that you're enjoying the show enough to want to support it. A quick note to patrons who have pledged at the $5 or higher level. I've been trying to arrange your special episodes, and there are a couple of people that I've not been able to reach. And I think that the common reason for this is that people, you know, maybe they don't want to get updates from Patreon, so they associate their Patreon account with an email address they don't check very often, but that is the only email address that I have for you. So if you're thinking to yourself, gee, it's been a while since I heard from James about my special episode, or I pledged recently and James hasn't been in touch about my special episode, check your notifications, because it's possible that I have like an out-of-date address for you. And if you have any questions, just contact me. My information's at the end of this episode. All right, let's take a look at the Death Leech. The Death Leech first appears in the module CM2, Death's Ride. And I have not heard a lot about CM2, but I do know that it's about a little barony under assault by a big army of undead. So I assume that we're going to see some other examples of creatures from CM2 in this chapter, and one of them is the Death Leech. The Death Leech, quote, comes from the Sphere of Death, close quotes. My understanding was that is not quite how spheres work. I thought that was planes, but let it pass. Either way, the Death Leech is a sort of polymorphing vampiric amoeba, but it can only polymorph into other undead. Essentially, it sort of disguises itself as weaker undead and then pounces, or maybe disguises itself as more powerful undead to frighten people away. It's sort of what you'd expect, and then it clings onto you with its tentacles, and once it's hit, it can start draining your life force. I think, to me, the Death Leech feels a little bit gamey, by which I mean that, I don't know how it turns up in CM2, but it seems to me like what this creature is designed for is a situation where you see some zombies or skeletons and you think, aha, skeletons, we'll mop these up, no problem. And then it turns out to be a Death Leech and you have a harder fight on your hands than you bargained for. But I'm not sure what the Death Leech gets out of this strategy, because it can't be that it lures victims in more easily. If you look at the population of living mortals, you know, the overwhelming majority of them are not gonna go bum rush a bunch of skeletons or zombies, right? They're going to back away from skeletons or zombies just as they would from a Death Leech. And in its non-polymorphed form, the Death Leech is much faster. So if we're talking about wanting to pursue fleeing targets, then it would seem like the best idea is for it not to polymorph at all. Its strategy seems to anticipate a situation that would have to come up pretty rarely, a behavior that really only player character parties would engage in, because if you are, you know, sent out to defend the kingdom from the advancing undead, you're going to attack whether it's zombies or whites, I would have thought. So it's really only adventuring parties that are picking and choosing their battles in this way. You know, maybe I'm overthinking this, but it's one of those situations where the monster seems designed to react to a game rather than to an in-fiction event, if that makes sense. It's a little bit like the Adherer in that respect, where the Adherer really works mainly because people are expecting something different, or the pseudo-undead. It's fine, and I like its creepy vampiric amoeba form, but I don't know if its ability to polymorph itself into other undead is, I don't know, it just feels weird. It reminds me a little bit of a monster from last week, right? The Aggarat, which is a more powerful undead monster concealed within a group of less powerful undead monsters, presumably to lull player characters into a false sense of security, but it doesn't seem that this would really apply to anyone else, since most people aren't going to think, oh, a group of ghouls, it's fine, but wait, one of them's an aggarat, now we should run. This book is going to be ringing the changes on ghouls a lot, by the way. We've got one coming next week, too. Anyway, next up we have the dragon, undead. It is, get this, a dragon, and it is undead. The dragon, undead is conceptually very simple, and I think it works just fine. It was a dragon, then it died, now it's an undead dragon. At a distance, it looks a bit like a normal dragon, but when you get close enough, you can see that it's all covered in scars and wounds and things. It also emits a foul stench when you get close to it, presumably because it is rotting, which is weird because it looks just fine. I mean, almost fine. A stench so foul that people who don't make their saves will suffer penalties. And its breath weapon has also been kind of corrupted by the decaying process. It spews out a cloud that can give you a dangerous rotting disease. Its claw attacks also cause paralysis like a ghoul's, but they don't do very much damage, d4 plus 4. And now, I realize that was a bit more in the old days, right? Like back when a coke was a nickel, and, you know, a wizard could have one hit point. But still, it is a significant come down from most living dragons. And undead dragons are explicitly weaker than their living counterparts. The undead dragon has half the hit dice of whatever kind of dragon it was when it was alive. Which means that for some of the upper ends of dragons, its claw and bite damage can be much, much weaker than they were when it was alive. On the other hand, its breath weapon, paralysis, and stench are pretty good and unpredictably good. You know, they're damaging and dangerous in a way that player characters might not expect. So the dragon, undead is a little bit of a glass cannon. It is potentially quite dangerous to a party, and it can seem very dangerous from a distance, but a party that really pours it on should be able to take it out. It's sort of the reverse of the Death Leech, because the Death Leech's deal is that it pretends to be a weaker monster than it is to lure the players in, whereas the dragon, undead appears from a distance to be a more dangerous monster than it is, presumably to scare the players off. The other thing about the dragon, undead is that they appear in groups of 1d3, which is a lot of undead dragons to have crawling around the place. I have always said that I'm opposed to proliferation of dragons. Having too many dragons around tends to sort of reduce their specialness. But it's really weird. It's just weird that there are so many dragons and so many dead dragons that there would be D3 undead dragons, and presumably not just wandering around the landscape. Although I do like the idea that it could be like an adult dragon and its child or something like that that died together. You know what I mean? Like it's like a family of dragons. Some specific tragic event that wiped out this whole nest of dragons. I could maybe see that. They could be pretty beef, actually. That little pack of undead dragons. I mean, if you had to fight three of them, hey, that could be pretty nasty. I would say that looking at the scenario could give you a little more context, but actually, I'm not aware that these come from a particular scenario. I feel like they maybe don't have to, right? The idea of making undead versions of things is pretty comfortably around in the D&D world by this point, and dragon, undead kind of just suggests itself. I've seen this monster compared to the Dracolich, which I don't think is right at all. This is, if anything, the reverse Dracolich, right? The Dracolich is a tremendously powerful opponent, and by contrast, the dragon, undead is a bit weaker than a typical dragon of its type, so I don't think the comparison holds up. All right, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we've got a listener-requested special episode all about... If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.
Liches. I can't believe that I haven't done one yet, but we're going to talk about liches. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.